Brother, if you want to give a title to today's message, you can title it The Sound of the Trumpet. The Sound of the Trumpet. On the Feast of Trumpets, a trumpet blast rang out for all to hear. It was a day, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. But what does the term blowing of trumpets really mean? What does that term really mean? What should be in our spiritual hearing of a trumpet on the Feast of Trumpets a few days from now? Let's begin over in Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 and verse 24. Leviticus 23 and verse 24. It says here in Leviticus 23, verse 24, says, "He speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." There are three things that are mentioned here: a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and a holy convocation. The Sabbath rest, a holy convocation, a holy gathering on the first day of the seventh month as commanded by the Lord. It says, you shall have a Sabbath rest. You shall have a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. That is pretty important. Very important that we have these things. God brings this out to us. Today, I simply want to look at the blowing of trumpets. The blowing of trumpets, its meaning, the sound itself and its importance in the life of ancient Israel, and the importance in the life of us today, and the importance in our future. This blowing of trumpets, the fact that God commands us that the Feast of Trumpets be a memorial of blowing of trumpets means that there is a lifetime's worth of information there for us. A lifetime's worth of information. This word memorial, out of Baker's Encyclopedia of the Bible, is Zikron. Z-I-K-R-O-N. Memorial means Zikron. It says here, something which keeps remembrance vivid. The idea represented by the words remember, remembrance, and memorial are closely connected in common parlance as well as in biblical usage. The Hebrew and Greek words translated as memorial in the Old Testament and New Testament are normal derivatives of the verbiage root meanings to remember. To remember. God says that this feast day is a remembrance of blowing of trumpets. A memorial, a remembrance of blowing of trumpets. So whatever blowing of trumpets means, God says, keep that memory vivid. Keep that memorial vivid. Keep that remembrance vivid. So what does the blowing of trumpets mean? The blowing of trumpets. The Hebrew word for blowing of trumpets is teruah. Teruah. T-R-U-A. Teruah. One word, that entire phrase, blowing of trumpets, means teruah. T-R-U-A. One single word. The Dictionary of Biblical Languages with Semantic Domain says this of teruah. It means blast, the sound of an instrument or a trumpet as a signal. Two, the cry of a voice, loud sounds. Three, shouts of joy, acclaimed. And four, a clashing, a clashing. So it's not the instrument that's most important. It's the sound that the instrument makes that signals, that alarms an event that should be remembered. It's the sound, not the instrument. Remember that sound, or the event when the alarm or the signal sounded, when the trumpet was blown, when the cry went out. That is what's important, the sound that it made. The concept of a loud sound or an alarm or a signal is very important to God in the lives of mankind, as we'll see. That sound. God says, on this holy convocation, remember the trumpet blasted. Remember when the alarm sounded. Remember when the signal was given. Remember when the clash was heard. It is a memorial. It's a memorial of Teruah, that sound, that loud sound, that trumpet blast. I propose that it is all of the blast, all of the sounds that need to be remembered. All of the blasts, all of the sounds that need to be remembered throughout Scripture. All of them, each of them, should be remembered by the people of God as God's announcement. God says, take note, take note. And on the Feast of Trumpets, there is no greater announcement in life of mankind than the announcement of Jesus Christ's return. No greater trumpet, no greater importance than the blast that occurs at the return of Jesus Christ. You can read about that over in Revelations 8, 9, 10, and particularly Revelations 11, verses 15 to 19. We'll look at a little bit of that in a little bit. But as we congregate, or as we assemble on the Feast of Trumpets, God says, remember the Teruah. Remember the sound. Look back. Don't forget when the trumpet blasted. Don't forget the alarms. Remember those alarms. Don't forget the loud sounds. Don't forget the blast that shall come in the future. A memorial of blowing of trumpets. Keep it vivid. And as we look at the meaning of the word teruah, the loud sound, or ruah, a loud single sound, take note that each of these meanings are expressed in the future fulfillment on the Feast of Trumpets at the future return of Jesus Christ. So let's look at the sounding of trumpets as used in that Hebrew word teruah in Scripture to see what we should be remembering. What should we be looking back to? And what should we be looking forward to on the Feast of Trumpets? God tells us to remember something. Remember when that loud blast went out. Remember the trumpet sound. So what should we be looking at Scripture to remember? And we can look at that very specific word. The theological workbook of the New Testament, of the Old Testament, says this of the word teruah. It says this word teruah is a feminine noun formed from the root word ruah. It is a purely Hebrew formation that occurs 36 times in the Old Testament, mostly in the singular form. You know, I would love to take time to go through all 36 versions today, but I'm sure somebody here would fall asleep. We know what happened over in Acts 20. Eutychus, you know, sitting up there in the window, fell asleep, fell down, hit the ground, was taken up dead. I don't doubt the power of God to be able to resurrect any one of you right here before us, but I'm not going to take that chance. So I'm going to keep this to only a few selected verses out of those 36, actually going to categorize them. The theological workbook of the Old Testament also states this. It states this. It says, there are four distinct senses of the word teruah that's used. It is used for a signal, meaning the sound of a trumpet, for the blowing of a shofar on the Day of Atonement or on the Day of Trumpets. It is used for an alarm, so a signal as well as an alarm. Alarm in the case of an attack. I hear the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. It says, in addition, it is used for the trumpet in the tumult of battle, in the tumult of battle. Quote, and Moab shall die amid an uproar, amid shouting and the sound of the trumpet. And lastly, the noun is used as exaltation of praise to God. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with the lute. Praise him with the harp. So here, the theological workbook says that word teruah is used as a signal, an alarm, a turmoil in battle, and an exaltation in praising God. God says, remember that. Remember these things. I'm going to divide for the sermon today this word in a slightly different sequence. I'm going to divide it as the Bible Word Study and the Dictionary of Biblical Languages divide it out. And this is what they say of those 36 meanings. It says, first, 15 of the 36 uses of the word teruah means to shout. To shout. 15 of the 36 times when that word is used, it means to shout. 11 times, it means a joyful shout. A joyful shout. Eight times, it means a trumpet blast. A trumpet blast. And two times, it just means a blast. A blast. So God says, on the Feast of Trumpets, remember the shout. Remember the joyful shout. Remember the trumpet blast. And remember the blast. What are we to look at in remembering on the Feast of Trumpets? On the Feast of Trumpets. First of all, he says, remember the shout. 15 of the 36 times says, remember the shout. Go with me over to Numbers. Numbers chapter 22 and verse 5. Numbers chapter 22 and verse 5. Remember the shout. The first occurrence of the word teruah in the sense of a shout is found in this scriptural history of Balaam and Balak's interaction with Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who appears to them in the form of an angel in saving the lives of the children of God. When we take this word and we look at this word, one of the first occurrences where this word teruah is used in a shout is here over in Numbers, and it's actually used much further down in Numbers 23, verse 21, but I want to begin over in Numbers 22, verse 5, so we understand what's happening here. It says here in Numbers 22, verse 5, it says, then he, speaking of Balak, Balak was the son of Zippor, he was a king of the Moabites. It says, then he, Balak, sent messengers to Balaam. Now Balaam is the prophet of God. He's a messenger of God. So he, Balak, sent messengers to Balaam, to the prophet of God, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, and called to him, Balak saying this, he says, saying, look, a people has come up from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth, and they are settling next to me. I'm getting them comfortable here. Have all these people coming up surrounding me, getting in my land. I'm getting a little bit nervous here. I'm getting afraid here. Verse 6, it says, therefore, please, Balaam, come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. Balak recognized the power of God in Balaam. The power of God in Balaam. The use of the word teruah, as I mentioned, is all the way down in chapter 23, verse 21. But I just want to summarize what's happening here. So Balak sends for Balaam, the prophet of God, to curse the people of Israel who've come up out of Egypt, who have come up out of sin. Out of sin. They're a great multitude coming into Balak's territory. When messengers come to Balak, to Balaam, requesting he come to Balak to curse Israel, Balaam does exactly what he should. The story goes on to tell us that he inquires of God, and God tells him, don't go. Don't go. Don't go to Balak. I'll deal with this. Don't go to Balak. But Balak then lays on Balaam very heavy persuasion. He says, look, if you come to me, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to give you riches and probably many other things. Please come and curse this people, Israel. As you read through the story, you realize that even though Balaam agrees to follow the command of God and not return with Balak's messengers, it seems that in Balaam's heart, he actually still wanted to go. He desired to go. We don't have the details there, but he's probably, you know, on his knees, well, Father, can I go? can I please go? I know you told me not to go, and I'm not gonna go because you told me not to go, but can I go? You know, he wants to honor me. He's kind of honoring you too. Can I go? Can I go? God tells Balaam, when the men come back, because you know he had this thing in his heart. Then God says, okay, when the men come back to further persuade you, go on, go with them. You can go with them, but when you go with Balak and his messengers and you speak to those people, only speak what I tell you to speak. Don't speak your own words. You only speak what I tell you to speak, but you can go. I'll let you go. So Balaam gets on his donkey to make his way to Balak. Three times an angel of the Lord, which is clearly seems here in Scripture to be Jesus Christ, stands in the way of the donkey that Balaam is riding on his way to see Balak. The donkey sees this angel. The first time it goes off the road, all the way down into the grasses, and come back on the road. And of course, I'm sure Balaam's sitting on the donkey figuring out, you know, what's going on here? Comes to a narrow pass. The donkey realizes that I can get around this angel, and he tries to get around the side of the angel and crushes Balaam's foot against the side of the rock. And Balaam's pretty angry this time. And then the third time, the angel, which in Scripture clearly seems to be Jesus Christ, stands in a very narrow space. No way for the donkey to get around, so the donkey just lays down. The donkey just lays down. Balaam then threatens to kill the donkey. Threatens to kill him. Let's pick it up in Numbers 22, verse 28. Numbers 22, verse 28. It says, then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and said to Balaam, now this is the donkey speaking. So, you know, if that's me, I'm hauling the other way. I'm not hanging around. The Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, that's even stranger. Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me. I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. I would kill you. So the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden? Ever since I became yours to this day, was I ever disposed to do this to you? He said, no. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head, fell flat on his face. Notice here in Scripture, particularly in the King James Version, angel is a capital A, his is a capital H, and Balaam bowed before this angel without the angel correcting him. That only happens when you bow down to God. Only happens when you bow down to God. That's where a strong indication here that this was Jesus Christ here. Also notice what it says in verse 32. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. King James, capital M-E. Capitalize. Your way is perverse before me. His way was perverse because he had in his heart a desire to do something that God had directed him not to do. And he's probably on that donkey, anxious to get there, figure out, you know, what reward does he have for me when I deliver this message. The angel tells Balaam to go to Balak, but then he reminds him, only tell Balak what God tells you to tell him. The message to Balak comes in the form of three prophecies, and it is in the second prophecy where our word ruah or teruah is used. God says, remember the blowing of the trumpet. Remember teruah. Look in Scripture. Remember teruah. There are some lessons here for us. God says on the Feast of Trumpets, remember teruah. Remember the shout. Remember the loud noises. Remember the warning sounds which come at the direction from God in Scripture. We must remember the stories here in the context in which this teruah is used. Balaam speaks to Balak and his princes in the second oracle as Balak pushes hard on Balaam to disobey the commandment of God and to curse the children of Israel who had come up out of Egypt. Go with me over to Numbers 23. Let's pick it up in verse 18. Numbers 23, verse 18, in the midst of this second prophecy. It says here, Numbers 23, verse 18, then he, Balaam, took up his oracle and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zippor. So this is a message to us to remember as a memorial during the Feast of Trumpets. Here's the message. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout, Teruah, of the king is among them. Here's our word. Remember the trumpet. Remember the sound. The shout, the Teruah of a king, capital K, is among them. This is a message of the Feast of Trumpets, when the shout of the king, notice king is capitalized, is among them. This is a message of the forgiven children of God in the future. We have to come out of sin. We have to come out of Egypt. We have to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when that happens, the king, Jesus Christ, is among us, just as he was among them. Remember the trumpet blast. Remember the teruah. Remember the shout. At that time in the future, we shall be a great multitude that descends with Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives as a great army to bless, a great army of blessed saints whose blessing upon us at that time in the future cannot be reversed. Cannot be reversed. And the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, will be among us just as he was in the midst of Balaam, just as he was in the midst of the people of God in this example. God says, remember the trumpet blast, a memorial. Look back in Scripture and see what happened, how I was involved with his people, how God was involved with us. Verse 22 says here, God brings them out of Egypt. God brings them out of sin. He has strength like a wild ox. For there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any division against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done. Oh, what God has done. That will be the proclamation of the world at the return of Jesus Christ. A memorial of Teruah, a shout of the king, that the king is among them, and the people saying, oh, what God has done. Oh, what God has done. Can you imagine what your coworkers, your relatives, your enemies alike will say when they realize that you are one of the saints with Jesus Christ on the Feast of Trumpets? You. Yeah, I know that this life is tough. Very, very tough for some. But our future does not end here in the flesh. Our future begins when the world will look at us as the children of God and proclaim, oh, what God has done. Oh, what God has done. Absolutely incredible. Verse 24 says, look, A people rise like a lioness and lifts itself up like a lion. It shall not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. Then Balak said to Balaam, neither curse them all nor bless them all. So Balaam answered and said to Balak, did I not tell you, saying, all that the Lord speaks, I must do. I must do. Brethren, this is just not a story about a talking donkey. This is prophecy, pointing to a time when the great trumpet shall sound at Jesus Christ's return. Israel, spiritual Israel, will rise up like a lion in that day, and it will not lie down until the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And people will look at the saints of God. They'll look at us who've been resurrected, changed from mortal flesh into spirit beings that at that time cannot be reversed, and will say, oh, what God has done. Oh, what God has done. We just have to press through this life in the flesh. And as he says here, did I not tell you all that the Lord speaks, I must do? God's word is true. It's absolutely true. Revelation 11 and verse 15. Revelation 11 and verse 15. Revelation 11 and verse 15 tells us here, the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. Just like Balak, when all the children started coming in and encroaching around them, that's going to be the kings of this world. They can say, oh, what's happening? All these people of God coming in, saints of God, encroaching on my territory. Well, that is going to be the case. And their kingdoms will become the kingdoms of Jesus Christ. It was said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done. On the Feast of Trumpets, remember the story of Balaam and the donkey. Remember the story of Balak and the curse that Balak wanted to place on the children of Israel that was not allowed. Keep that in mind. It points to our own future, our future with Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Remember Numbers 23, verse 21, and the Lord God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. A shout of a king, a teruah of a king, a blast of a trumpet of a king is among the people of God. Remember the trumpet. Oh, how we look forward to that day. Very interesting. A second place where the word teruah is used, where it means shout, is another very familiar biblical and historical recording of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. Go with me over to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Joshua chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. The second place, another place where this word teruah, meaning shout, the same word that's used over there in Leviticus, is used. Here in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. Both these cases, look who's involved. The children of Israel are involved. It says, now none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city. All your men of war, you shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And the seventh priest shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they make a loud blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great teruah, a great shout. So these first two occurrences of this word are the people of God shouting. And it's the sound. It's the sound. It says, and all the people shall shout with a great shout. There's our word teruah. Then the wall of the city will fall flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Now, what's interesting here is that it was not the sound of the trumpet. It wasn't the sound that came from the ram's horn. This word teruah here, when the walls fell flat, it was a sound, it was a shout of the people that went forth. The shout of the people that went forth. It was all the people who shouted with the great teruah that God then recognized, and God fell the wall flat. God fell the wall flat. God says on the Feast of Trumpets, remember this. Remember this. Remember the shout of the people as connected with the fall of the walls of Jericho. It is a memorial of blowing of trumpets. It's a memorial of teruah. We have to look it back in Scripture to see what we should be remembering. Some of the other things that we should be remembering. Verse 20. It says, so the people shouted in verse 20 when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. So the trumpet blast, they heard the sound of the trumpet. And then the people shouted with the great, here's our word, teruah, and the walls fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Again, note that the people heard the trumpet. They followed the directives of God Almighty. They shouted with the great teruah, with the great shout, and the walls fell flat. Understand something else. God knocked down the walls. God knocked down the walls. You can have all the scientific folk that you want that will go over to the land of the Holy Land and try to find some walls in the earth that was liquid enough that people could walk around it and these walls fall flat. Understand the size and the magnitude of these walls. The size and the magnitude of these walls. Several historical and biblical sources said these walls were anywhere from 11 feet high to 26 feet high, 6 or more feet wide, huge walls that went around the city, huge walls, at a minimum, that was its size. Send an army around a fortress with walls that large, yell all you want, stomp all you want, yell for a month, those walls are not going to fall flat on their own. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. It was God who knocked down the walls, recognizing the obedience of his people to protect his people. To protect his people. God recognized the obedience of the armies of Israel. God recognized their shout, and the walls fell flat by his might, by his power. His might and his power. The question that we should think about, one of the reasons God says for us to remember, we need to ask ourselves, is there something in our life that you need to shout about? I'm not asking for a revival. But there's something in your life that you need to shout about, things that just are not going the way that you know they should. Things where you need rescue, things where you need help. God recognizes your voice. God says, remember when my children walked around Jericho, they were obedient to me and they shouted that those walls came down. I heard their voice. I heard their voice. God will hear our voices. He heard the children of Israel. God says, remember on the Feast of Trumpets, it's not just the sound of the trumpets, it's the shout of the people of God. The shout of the people of God. That's how the walls fell flat. That's how the walls came down. The walls came down by God's power, by God's might. Go with me over to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 6. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 6. Zechariah here speaks about Joshua. Makes clear here that it's not our power, it's not our might, it's not our strength, it's the might and power of God through the power of his Holy Spirit On the Feast of Trumpets, we have to remember this. We have to remember this. Here in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, "Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. Hear, O Joshua the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. I am bringing forth Jesus Christ. Be obedient to me, follow me, have faith in me. Remember the event. Remember when you shouted, Joshua, and the walls came a-tumbling down? Don't forget that. Don't forget that." It says, verse 9, "For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts. I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day." That shall occur, brethren. It says, "In that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine, under his fig tree." The Feast of Tabernacles begins and is ushered in by the Feast of Trumpets. Verse 1, continuing there, said, "Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me, as a man who is wakened out of his sleep, and said to me, 'What do you see?' So he said, 'I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at the left.' So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, 'What are these, my Lord?' Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, 'Do you not know what these are?' And he said, 'No, my Lord.' So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel: not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" That's what we have to remember on the Feast of Trumpets. Not by might, not by power, but by God's spirit. That's how the walls of Jericho came down. That's how the walls of this world will come down. That's how it's going to happen. And it will happen. God says on the Feast of Trumpets, remember this. Look in Scripture and remember this. Incredible events. Remember on the Feast of Trumpets that it is the power and the might of God's Holy Spirit, not our own wisdom, not our ingenuity, or our faith that will change this world. It wasn't the anxiousness of Balaam to go to Balak with his own message. It was the might and the power of God, God with them, that protected them. Walk around this world all we want. Walk around your neighborhood. Walk around Charlotte, North Carolina, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Baltimore, Maryland. Walk around Aleppo, Syria, with the death and the carnage that's taking place there. Walk around India with the poverty. Walk around North Korea and Pakistan. Walk around China. We have to raise our vision as the people of God that it's not just what's happening here in the United States that's abominable to God. It's everything that's happening in this world that's abominable to God. And this world won't be fixed by our might, by our power. It's going to be fixed by the might and the power of God's Holy Spirit. We need to shout out in our prayers about the injustice, the corruption, slave trade, women in bondage, war, death of children, bloodshed in the hundreds of cities that takes place around the world. We are the ambassadors of the coming kingdom of God, and we need to keep our mind at that level. at that level, knowing absolutely that on the Feast of Trumpets, the walls will come tumbling down. They will. They absolutely will. God says, remember that. Remember that. We know over in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1, it tells us to cry aloud. Cry aloud. Lift up your voice. How? Like a trumpet. God wants to hear our voices like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. That's the part of the work that we're doing. That's the effort that we're putting in to preach the gospel. That's how we're trying to order our steps so that people can see us, see our family, see our life different than what they see in this world. It will be by the power of God seeing Christ in us, recognizing our faithful shout, that he will then choose at the right time to act on behalf of this world and bring its walls down. And bring its walls down. Matthew 24, verse 22. Matthew 24, verse 22. God is looking to us. God is wanting to hear our voice. Matthew 24, verse 22 says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved alive, but for whose sake? But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Because of the armies of Israel being obedient to God's, the walls came down. Because Balak, even with that resistance that he had, was obedient when he went to Balak, was obedient that God realized that God was amongst his people, that the people of God were protected. It's because of the elect's sake that those days will be shortened. It's because of Jesus Christ in us that the Father will send his Son back to this earth at the sound of the trumpets. And just as the walls of Jericho fell down before the disobedient and faithful, before the obedient and faithful children of Israel, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, the walls, the governments, the systems, the kingdoms of this world are going to fall before us. Are going to fall before us. That's going to take place. God says, remember Teruah. Remember Teruah. Remember the blowing of the trumpet. Remember the sound of the trumpet. Remember the shout. Remember Balaam and the shout that a king is among the people. Remember the shout of the armies who walked around the walls of Jericho. Remember that. We have to remember that on the Feast of Trumpets. Second definition says, remember the joyful shout. 11 times of the 36 times where this word teruah is used, it says, remember the joyful shout. The joyful shout. Go with me over to 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 5. 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 5. When Christ returns, there will be a joyful shout because Jesus Christ will be among his people. Not just a shout, but in this case, a joyful shout. A joyful shout. Look what happened here, and the occurrence of this word occurs here three times in this section here. 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, and when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into camp, all Israel shouted so loudly, Teruah, there's our word. When the ark came in, they shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Now, when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, when they heard the noise of the Teruah, when they heard the noise of the people, they said, what does this great sound, Teruah, in the camp of the Hebrews mean? They didn't just say this was a loud sound. There's many, many definitions for the word loud sound or trumpet sound or blast. But over in Leviticus, it uses this specific word. And here it uses this specific word. It says, then they understood that the ark of the Lord had come into camp. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. And they said, woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe to us, who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Looking forward to in prophecy what's going to happen in the future. What are they going to say when we as the gods, the children of God, glorified saints of God, starts walking into these countries, starts walking into China, starts walking into Pakistan, into Iran and into Iraq, starts walking into the White House, saying things are going to change. We get a sense of what that's going to be like here, looking at this example here in 1 Samuel. On the Feast of Trumpets, we must remember the great sound, the great shout that will go out when God and the saints come into the camp of men. We're going to be happy. We're going to be ecstatic. We're going to be ecstatic. Go with me over to 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. It's a very, very special day that we'll be celebrating in a few days. A very, very special holy day. An exciting holy day. A meaningful holy day. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, how loud of a sound will the trumpet of God make? It says, the archangel with the trumpet of God. How loud will that be? Not he's with the trumpet of a man. With the trumpet of God? Are you kidding me? How loud will that be? You know, we look forward and want this day, want the Feast of Trumpets to take place so desperately. It's the only hope of this dying world. There is no other hope that this world has. The stories in the news get more horrid month after month after month after month. So sad. When I travel, I often travel with my Baltimore Ravens hat on. Not that I'm a huge football fan, it just fits my big head real well. But when people see that Raven, oh, you're from Baltimore. It's either like, whoa, you're from Baltimore, or you're from Baltimore? Because it seems like wherever I travel, whether it's Texas or whether it's California, something horrid about Baltimore is in the news. Something horrid is in the news this past week. How sad. Father kills his wife, goes over to the university, gets his son that's 19 years old, has him in the car with him, kills him, and then kills himself. Are you kidding me? There is no hope for this world other than the return of Jesus Christ. There is no hope. The message that we have, the understanding that we have, that we've been blessed with about the return of Jesus Christ is the only answer for this world. The only one. There is no other. There is no other answer. Go with me back to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 27. On this day, we are going to be happy. We are going to be rejoicing because finally rescue and true hope will come to this world. God will be among his people on this earth. Here in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 27, it says, David was clothed with the robe, a robe. Here's another occurrence coming up here in verse 28 of our word teruah. It says, David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who bore the ark, the singers, and Chenaniah, the music master, with singers. David also wore linen ephod. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, teruah. They had the ark of God with them. God is with us. We are happy. God is with us. It says, and with the sound of the horn and with trumpets and with cymbals, making music with string instruments and harps. But that word teruah was the voice of people shouting. Verse 29, and it happened as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the city of David, that Micah, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David whirling and playing music. He was ecstatic. He was happy. Finally, God is among us. Goes on to say, and she despised him in her heart. But brethren, when Jesus Christ raises the saints from the grave, and we realize what has taken place, we look down upon ourselves knowing something is different. And we feel the power and the energy of God running through and coursing through our bodies as glorified saints of God, knowing that finally God is with us and things are going to change. How happy will you be? How happy will you be? Absolutely incredible. We're going to whirl, we're going to shout, we're going to be happy with joy. Consider this scripture over in Job. Job chapter 33 and verse 26. Again, this word teruah meaning a joyful shout. A joyful shout. Here over in Job chapter 33 and verse 26. It says here in Job 33 verse 26, and see, he shall pray to God and he will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy. He shall see his face with joy. When we see the face of Jesus Christ, not with our fleshly eyes, but with our spiritual eyes in the future, we're going to see his face with a shout of joy, with absolute happiness. That's where we have to have our minds live. That's where we have to have our spirit live. In the future return of Jesus Christ, not in this messed up fleshly world that we're dealing with. He shall see his face with joy. Another example over in Psalms 33, verse 1. This word teruah, meaning joyful, a joyful shout. Psalms 33, in verse 1. Psalms 33, in verse 1. We need to remember these things on the Feast of Trumpets. God says, remember, it's a memorial of blowing of trumpets. It's a memorial of teruah. Here in Psalms 33 and verse 1, it says, rejoice in the Lord, all you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise from the upright is beautiful. God looks at the praise that we bring him as beautiful. Verse 2, it says, praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of teruah. That word joy is teruah. Play skillfully with the shout of teruah. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. That's not going to happen until Jesus Christ returns. But when it does, there's going to be a shout of joy as never heard before. a shout of joy as never heard before. This is a millennial psalm. The earth will be full of the goodness of the Lord when the government of God is established at the return of Jesus Christ, at the sound of that trumpet. How exciting. These words are so encouraging. These words are so uplifting. We as the children of God must be forward-looking. This is our hope, and this is the only hope for mankind, is the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's interaction directly into the lives of mankind begins on the Feast of Trumpets. Begins with the Feast of Trumpets. Without this hope, what do we as the children of God have? Without the return of Jesus Christ, what do we have? We would try to live this life as well as we could. Don't have the Bible, you have to read what is put out by Wall Street or put out by psychologists or put out by psychiatrists or put out by any other religion that's out there and try to figure out what we should do. And who out there is providing any hope? Who's providing the hope? Without this hope, what do we do? Put your hope in Hillary Clinton? Put your hope in Donald Trump? Are you kidding me? Our only hope is in Jesus Christ. Our only hope is in his return. Things are going to get much worse than they are already. That's the bent of this life. That's the bent of this time that we're in. Look at the arrow. Look at the arc. It's not arcing towards God. It's arcing away from him in every facet of life. Our hope must be on Jesus Christ. Reminds me of this hymn, old Lutheran hymn. Just read the words for you. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That is the only hope. Do we realize that? When we come to the Feast of Trumpets, that is what should be on our mind. The Bible provides us with event after event, circumstance after circumstance, that he is among his people. He is with us. It says, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. It says, when darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. The flood of tears. This life is overwhelming at times. It absolutely is. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. Only him. When he shall come with trumpet sound, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. That faultlessness only occurs because of Jesus Christ giving his life for us, we repenting of our sins. We don't become faultless on our strength and power alone. Only through the power of God's Holy Spirit. In our life, it is also true, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. It's only our hope in Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking forward to on the Feast of Trumpets. That's what we're looking forward to. Go with me over to Psalms 47. Psalms 47 and verse 5. Psalms 47 and verse 5. All of this joy, we're looking forward to this so much. Psalms 47, verse 5, it says, God has gone up with a shout. Teruah. There's our word. God has gone up with a shout, with teruah. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. With understanding. How blessed are we to be able to sing praises with understanding? You know, you can go and enjoy, for the sake of enjoyment, almost any Baptist church on any Sunday morning and come out with an emotional lift. But to be able to sing praises with understanding is a whole different deal. To be able to get excited and rejoice in God with understanding, with knowing what the Feast of Trumpets means, with knowing the plan of God, with understanding. How beautiful that is. That is what we're able to do as the people of God. Verse 8, it says, God reigns over the nation. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. He is greatly exalted. God says on the Feast of Trumpets, remember Teruah. Remember the shout of joy. Remember the shout of joy. Let's look at this one last verse in this particular section. Go with me over to Psalms 89 and verse 15. Psalms 89 and verse 15. When we come before God on the Feast of Trumpets, we need to remember these things. Yes, absolutely look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. Look forward to Revelations 8, 9, 10, and 11 taking place. That will take place. God also says to us, remember, remember. Psalms 89 and verse 15. It says, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound teruah. Blessed are the people who know the teruah. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. How joyful. How exciting. He says, remember, blessed are the people who know that joyful sound. Know that joyful sound. When that trumpet shall blow, that it's going to be a joyful sound. Because we will be resurrected as the saints of God. Family, God is with us. He is with you. Please don't ever forget that. Remember the joyful sound. Definition number three. Definition number three. Remember the trumpet blast. Remember the trumpet blast. The trumpet blast. Let's go back over to Leviticus 23 and verse 24. I'm sure this verse will be read several times on the Feast of Trumpets. Leviticus 23 and verse 24. It says here, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. A memorial of blowing of trumpets, a trumpet blast, that same word, teruah. Remember the trumpet. Remember the actual trumpet blast. Remember the sound that it makes. Leviticus 25 and verse 9. Leviticus 25, verse 9. The same word, teruah, used over here, translated trumpet. It says, then you shall cause the teruah, the trumpet of Jubilee, to sound on the 10th day of the seventh month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. That same word, that same teruah sounding on the Day of Atonement. We can understand that the Day of Atonement with understanding. Satan shall be bound. He's going to be removed. All that he's doing to cause problems and hatred and death and sickness and illness and disgust in this world, he will be removed. he will be removed. Because the teruah has been sounded. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 1. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 1. Numbers here gives us an idea of what we need to do when we hear that trumpet blast, when we hear teruah. It says here in Numbers chapter 10, verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. So when this trumpet blasts, we're just not going to say, okay, I hear the trumpet blast. Okay, I guess I just sit here and enjoy the sound. No, God says when that trumpet blasts, there's going to be movement. There's going to be something that needs to take place. It says, and when they blow both of them, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow one of them, then the leaders and the heads of the divisions of Israel shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, teruah, there's our word right there, the advance. When you sound the teruah, the camps that lie on the east side shall begin their journey. When you sound the advance, there is our word again, teruah. Not just any old sound, a teruah, a trumpet blast. The second time, then the camps that lie on the south shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. There will be, brethren, a trumpet sound in the future that shall say advance. Advance. Move forward. Indeed, that trumpet is sounding today in our lives. We must know that on the feast of trumpet, God says to us, move forward. Don't stay where you are. Don't stay stuck where you are. Yes, you have troubles. Yes, you have trials. Yes, you have sickness and illnesses. Yes, all of those things are true because this is Satan's world, but we should, in our mind, in our spiritual mind, hear the trumpet blasting tell us, get up, get moving. Move forward in the direction of God. Move forward in his righteousness. God is among us. He's going to take care of you. This life in the flesh is not all there is. This life in the flesh is a tool for us to prepare for the life in the spirit. This is training ground. This is preparation time. Move forward. You must know that on the feast of trumpet, God says it's advance. Don't stay stuck where you are. Verse 9, it says, when you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound the alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God. Here's that concept of remembrance. And you will be saved from your enemies. Verse 10, also on the day of your gladness and your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before God. I am the Lord your God. I am. I am. He says, remember that. Don't forget that as we go through this life. God is telling us to remember the blowing of trumpets, the great sound of the trumpet, the sound that indeed shall sound again in the future at the return of Jesus Christ. Keep it in mind. Keep it in mind. Zephaniah, chapter 1 and verse 14. Zephaniah, chapter 1 and verse 14. Zephaniah, chapter 1 and verse 14. Notice this. It says here in Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet an alarm, a teruah. The saints of God will be rejoicing to see Jesus Christ. The world will hear that trumpet, see us coming down from the heavens. And they will melt basically where they stand in fear. It says a day of trumpet and teruah against the fortified cities, against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. That day of the Lord shall come. It shall come. Just like Balak prophesied, just like Jericho said, just like the ark came into camp, this day shall come. God is preparing us, the church, to be soldiers in the army of God on that day, the Feast of Trumpets. It was the priests of God who had the responsibility of blowing the trumpets for the children of Israel on those high days. But look who likely blows the trumpet at the return of Jesus Christ. Go with me over to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9, beginning in verse 11. An indication here of who will actually blow the trumpet blast at the return of Jesus Christ when God leans in to save this world, to save his people, to save all peoples. Here in Zechariah 9, verse 14, it says, "Then the Lord will be seen over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord God will blow the trumpet." You kidding me? How loud will that be? How terrifying will that be? When the Lord blows the trumpet, when the Lord God blows the trumpet, that trumpet blasts that even the dead in Christ will hear. It says, "And go with the whirlwinds from the south." It says, "The Lord of hosts," verse 15, "will defend them. They shall devour the subdue with sling stones. Then shall drink and roar as if with wine. They shall be filled with blood like basins, like the corners of the altar. The Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be like the jewels of a crown, lifted like a banner over his land. For how great is its goodness, and how great its beauty! Grain shall make the young men thrive, and wine and new wine the young women." When the Lord God blows the trumpet in that day, the people of God will be saved like a jewel in a crown, a banner over the land. How great is its goodness? How great and beautiful will that be? Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30. Look so much forward to this day. Matthew 24 and verse 30. Matthew 24, verse 30 says this. It says, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he," speaking of Jesus Christ, "the Son of Man, will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet," with a great sound of a trumpet, "and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." The indication is from Zechariah 9:14 and here in Matthew 24, verse 30, that it will be the Lord God, Jesus Christ, that shall blow the trumpet. Those angels come because a trumpet has been blown. So don't forget the trumpet blast. Don't forget the trumpet blast. And number four, just remember the blast. Remember the blast. You know, on the Feast of Trumpets, we will come before God to praise the Lord God. That's why we're coming. We're coming before God to praise him. And as the trumpet blasts, the sound teruah blasts, we shall also make a great sound to the Lord of praising God. We ought to come on the Feast of Trumpets ready to sing out in each of the hymns as they're played. Because this is a very, very important day. A wonderful day when Jesus Christ will intervene into the lives of mankind. Remember the blast. Remember the sound. Go with me over to Psalms. Psalms 150 in verse 1. Psalms 150 in verse 1. The last psalm, Psalm 150. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him, here's our word, with teruah, clashing cymbals. The last thing it tells us there. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Praise him with teruah, clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. Absolutely incredible. The last praising directive from God is to praise the Lord with teruah. Praise the Lord with clashing cymbals, with teruah cymbals. And then it ends by saying, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brethren, the primary meaning of blowing of trumpets is to raise a noise by shouting with an instrument, especially a horn, or the ram horns, or the shofar, or the voice of men, shouting forth praises to God. The blowing of the trumpet, teruah, is very important to God. It was an alarm, a signal to stand up, to take notice. As one of my teachers ingrained in my mind as a teenager, Mr. Roy Demarest, resurrection means to stand up from below. Stand up from below. When that trumpet blasts, that's the command. Our first move on the Feast of Trumpets, when it blasts, our first directive, our first advance is to stand up from below. How marvelous. How wonderful. Something is about to happen. You will be called into action at the sound of the trumpet. Leviticus 23, verse 24. Let's read that one last time. Leviticus 23 and verse 24. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial, a memory, a vivid memory, a reminder of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the Feast of Trumpets, family, remember the shout. Remember the joyful shout. Remember the trumpet blast. Remember the blast. Thank God for the Feast of Trumpets that we're able to celebrate with understanding. Thank God for the Feast of Trumpets, the sound of the trumpet, the blowing of trumpets, the teruah, the shout, which shall be fulfilled at the return of Jesus Christ. We can be thankful for that, that the Lord God shall send his angels with the sound of a trumpet and a call, and shall resurrect his children from the grave, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Remember the teruah. Remember the sound of the trumpet. Thank God for the sound of the trumpet.